Welcome to the Real Estate Espresso Podcast, your morning shot of what's new in the world of real estate investing. I'm your host, Victor Menashe. Today is another AMA episode, that is, Ask Me Anything. I love to answer your questions, and if you have a question that you think is going to be of broad interest, send it in. I'll answer it live on the air. Send your questions to Victor at victorjm.com. That's Victor at victorjm.com. Today's question comes from Ramon, who writes, I'm dropping you a quick note to thank you again for all that you do to make the Real Estate Espresso podcast so amazing. I can't imagine how much work it must be for you to consistently create such high-quality content. I hope you know how much value I and many others get from it. Specifically, your recent mini-series on business planning was phenomenal. It was an amazing insight into how to keep an organization aligned and working towards the right goals. I'm wondering if you would have any interest in doing a similar mini-series or perhaps even a single episode on how you built Y Street Capital in the early days. How did you balance the financial commitment of expanding the team, building out office space, and so on, given the difficulty for a real estate developer to accurately forecast the timing to generate revenue and liquidity events, especially in the early days before you had a solid base of cash flow from existing stabilized projects and consulting clients, versus the need for high-quality help to shepherd the projects and evaluate new opportunities? I think many people struggle with this chicken and egg problem and would be interested to hear how you approached it. Well, Ramon, thank you for the kind words, and this is a great question. You're absolutely correct when you say that bootstrapping a business is challenging. Small organizations, in particular, struggle with this. There is a myth that if you start small, you can use the revenue from those initial projects that can be reinvested in the business to grow the team. You might grow from one person to two to three to four and so on. But the problem with small projects is it takes a very long time for the business to amass enough cash to scale. Now, sometimes you can get lucky with a single home run project generating enough cash to fund a few years of growth. But sustainability is difficult to achieve with that method. You get trapped in a low Earth orbit that you'll never escape. To run any business, I don't care whether it's a real estate business, a restaurant, a hotel, a tech company, there are seven major functions necessary to run any business. I'm going to go through them really quick here. We could spend hours on it, but I'm going to go through it real quick. Number one, you need your executive team, the leadership. Number two, you need a person or a team focused on the general systems and policies, the governance of the business, so that you actually have a functioning business. Number three, you need folks whose focus is communicating with existing customers. Number four, you need the treasury. These are your financial controls, the folks that are watching and implementing the policies that have been set by the executive. Number five, you've got to have the technical operations. This is the meat and potatoes of the business. If you're a construction company, this is where your construction foreman would reside and so on. That's where the meat of the work happens. Number six, very important, often overlooked, is the quality assurance function. You've got to be checking to make sure that the work produced meets the quality standards. And then number seven, you need outreach to potential new clients in the form of both marketing and sales. Now, I know what you're thinking. You haven't figured out how to feed a single family out of a real estate investment business. How on earth are you going to feed seven families? Well, the fact is, all businesses require all seven of those functions. And even if you had enough hours in the day to perform all of these functions, no single human on earth has the breadth of skills to perform all of those roles. It's just not humanly possible. So early on in your investment career, you want to design projects that are large enough to afford the necessary skills. In the case of our company, all of the partners came into the business with already some revenue, having established a certain level of success investing. So we came together with some sources of residual income from our respective businesses. But the key to building sustainability into the business was a combination of both developer fees and consulting income. Newer deal sponsors are cautious about charging fees to their investors, but you need to think of it as protecting investors, and it doesn't matter what the size of the project is. The fee needs to be low enough that it doesn't hamper the project and doesn't turn off your investors, but it needs to be large enough that it feeds the vital functions of the business. So if you're working for sweat equity, which means you're basically working for free with the hopes that someday in the distant future you'll make money when the project is fully leased and stabilized, that moment could be a year away or 2 years away. That's a long time to hold your breath. Imagine for a moment that somewhere along the way you have the misfortune of getting sick and now there's nobody willing to step into that role and work for free to see the project through to completion. You're actually putting your investors at risk because you fail to allocate funds in the budget to do the work that you're now doing for free. If you need to hire someone competent to step in and finish the project, that's going to cost money, and the money has to come from somewhere. Any money that is to be spent in the project should be budgeted alongside paint and drywall and your interest reserve and the architect and everything else required to complete the project. So if I think back, even to the early days, even before I joined Y Street Capital, when we were building apartment buildings in Philadelphia, we always had a fee embedded in the project. It might have been something as modest as a 9-unit building, and that fee could have been calculated as a percentage of the hard construction cost paid out in draws over the life of the project. On some buildings, my fee might have only been, say, 2% or $20,000 on a $1 million construction budget, but still those fees were in place. Now, whether we pay a third party or pay someone in the core team really should make no difference to the investor as long as everything is clearly disclosed up front and transparent. We can't have someone with their hand in the cookie jar. Now, clearly, $20,000 is not going to make or break the project. In the end, those projects went on to generate hundreds of thousands in returns overall. Depending on the complexity of the project, that developer fee could range anywhere from, let's say, 2% of the total project cost to up to 4% of the hard cost of construction. Exactly what that fee will be will depend on the complexity and the nature of the project, but we always make sure to include that as part of the budget. But that small fee was there to protect the investor and to protect the project. It's through the process of small developer fees and consulting income that companies can hire the talent needed to grow ahead of the revenue curve and still build a sustainable business. In our case, we're very clear. We've got a lot to offer our clients as developers. Whether we're building a project for our own account or for a client, we treat it the same way. And that's why clients like to engage us in developing projects for them, which we do very selectively, by the way, because we have our own projects to run. But it helps smooth out that revenue and make the business much more sustainable and much more professional. I want to thank you, Ramon, for a fabulous question, and for the listeners at home, have an awesome rest of your day. Go make some great things happen, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.